today we are getting to chapter 2, and before that we had preface. The preface discusses bhakti rasa, 12 rasas, and that every activity is actuated, motivated, inspired by rasa, some rasa. And the real rasa is rasa towards Krishna. There are 12 rasas. All the other rasas are temporary. I think we discussed that there are earthly rasas and heavenly rasas and Vaikuntha rasas. Did we discuss? Three types of rasas. That heavenly Swargiya rasa, that's from Pradipa, Prema Pradipa by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That three rasas from Prema Pradipa, three categories are Swargiya, and they are the same as the 12 rasas from Vaikuntha. What are the five main rasas? The liberation. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Madhurya, one more. Vatsala, yes. These are five. And seven secondary, which gives more some spice to these. What are Adbhuta, wonder, surprise? Something else? Very important one. We try to begin our classes with it. Hasya. Yes, laughter, very important for Sakya Rasa. Virya, chivalry, yes. Karuna, mercy, yes. So that's four. Three more. Bhayanaka, fear. Bibhatsa, ghastliness. What do you call it? Gnus or whatever. Yeah? And Raudra, anger. These are 12. So the same 12 are Svargiya rasas, heavenly rasas, if they are in connection to people in this world. And then there is earthly Parthiva rasas, and there are six earthly non-heavenly rasas, and these are, anybody remembers? Sweet, sour, salt, salty, pungent, astringent, and bitter. So if you don't have a relationship rasa, then we think, oh, at least I will eat something. At least some rasa is there in the food. It's earthly rasa. And by the way, alcohol is concentrated, super, super sweet thing. It's super, super sweet. It has more calories, I understand, than sugar syrup or something. Yeah, it's super sweet type of thing. So intoxication usually is connected with sweet. Yeah. Sweet, we need sweetness, some kind of sweetness. Sometimes some other things also. But the point is that relationships are the higher stage rasa, and if we direct our relationships towards Krishna, then they are becoming Vaikuntha, eternal relationships, because the object is eternal. Otherwise we have bhoga tyaga and chapala sukha, attachment, repulsion, and flickering happiness. Then we had introduction. We had in the introduction we discussed a very important topic about what is bhakti. And I don't know how it will show. I can try to use the computer, source detected. Why is it on this side? How about this? Yeah, this is better. Anyway, this was what we were making. Yeah, we had
Is it better? So this is what we were writing. We have three qualities of bhakti: Anukulyena, Krishna, Anushilanam. Anukulyena, Krishna, Anushilanam. Of them, we see there is one external, yeah, the activity, and there is the heart of the heart of the heart of bhakti is the most important part, and it is to please Krishna. To please Krishna and his devotees? Like, you know that Krishna likes to fight, so Hiranyakashipu pleased Nrisimha because he fought with Nrisimha. Can we count this as bhakti?
I mean, this is, it's hard to, in this case of Jaya Vijay, to say.
Yeah, but from our side, from this Hiranyakashipu, did he do bhakti?
No. Yes. What was missing?
Intention.
Yes. So he pleased, this is the biggest, the most subtle point, and one of the most important points we need to figure out in Bhakti Shastri, that bhakti and also yoga is done in the heart. Outside is the instrument. In the heart. So, in other words, not to please Krishna, but to please and want to please. Intends to please. So this is really subtle. You always forget. I always think that if I do something that pleases Krishna, that's enough. But not only that has to be there, but also the mood, proper mood, has to be there. Yeah. So, and then two more make it pure. One is Anyabhilasheta Shunyam. Anya Bilashita Shunyam. And this means that we understand what is my identity. What is my ultimate priority and goal? I am Krishna Bhakta. My goal is Krishna Bhakti. The other one, so that's a goal. And the other one is the process. Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam. That no other process covers bhakti in my trust, in my faith. Krishna bhakti is the goal. Krishna bhakti is the process. These five make pure bhakti. Three make bhakti, and two make pure bhakti. So this is the essence of everything. This verse 1.1.11 from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the core verse, which gives the biggest secret, and it's the top, the pinnacle of all the Vedic literature. It's the Everest among the mountains. It's Triglav in Slovenia. It's what was the Grossglockner? Yeah, Glockner, whatever. Anyway, this is the top. Glockner or Glock? Glockner. Yeah. Okay, so this we discussed before, but we can. And then we discussed six qualities of bhakti. What are the six characteristics of bhakti? So that was of pure bhakti. So that was the next important topic. It gives the glory, describes the glory of bhakti. And these, in Sanskrit it's easier to remember, so Kleshagni Shubhada, Moksha Laguta Krit, Sudur Labha, Kleshagni Subhada, Mokshaluguta Krit, Sudurla Bha, Sandrananda, Shri Krishna Karshinichasa. Sandrananda Visheshatma, Sandrananda Visheshatma, Shri Krishna Karshinichasa. This is the six descriptions of pure bhakti. So the first thing that comes What is the first thing? It removes
distress,
suffering, all the suffering. Gni, gni, it kills klesha. And shubhada gives shubha, gives all good auspiciousness, ugodnost, you say, yeah? Ugodnost.
Yes.
And Croatians say povoljnost.
Ugodnost.
Also ugodnost. Or povoljnost.
Ugodnost. Ugodnost. Ugodno.
Who says povoljno? Czechs. Yeah. Czechs say povoljno. Yeah? Okay. So these two and shubhada, shubha auspiciousness, if you remember, has four types. One is happiness, makes you happy. Second is gives, makes you attractive, which is natural. Third, it gives you all good qualities. You need any good qualities?
Yes.
Anybody need any? So it gives you all good qualities. And one more, it gives you compassion or friendliness towards everybody. And Jiva Goswami says, look, see, even though all good qualities must include compassion and friendliness, but it's mentioned separately because it's the essence of all the other good qualities. Which I think is a good point. Yeah? That friendliness, compassion, well-wishing attitude is the source of all good qualities. You remember, did you try to wish others well? Did we have this exercise that you wished others well? Yeah?
Okay. I have one experience. I do it, but I think I was not, it was not from the heart. I was just quick to do it. And for 5 days, I always sleep good. For 5 or 6 days, I did not sleep.
Oh, really?
Really. And I was wondering, wow. Why? What I do? But then I
examine.
No, I was just
cool. So my curse. You're afraid that my curse was. And I was wondering. So a few days I was sleeping well. What's happening?
Your curse must not go in vain.
Sorry. Yeah. Yes. So this is one of the things of bhakti. And in Jaiva Dharma there is one very interesting question. Jaiva Dharma, they ask, how is it that bhakti is independent, and then to do bhakti you must be humble and must be compassionate? Well, why do you have to be humble and compassionate? I mean, that means that bhakti depends on some qualities. Right, so but bhakti should be independent. Trinada pisanichana tarva sahishnu namani namanadena kirtaniya sadahari. Why without these qualities, Trinada pisanichana, you don't have proper bhakti? So Bhaktivinoda Thakura says that no, these qualities are not material qualities. These qualities are bhakti. This humility and compassion is bhakti. And this is natural, you know, if you know that Krishna means Krishna and his energies and expansions and devotees, then how can you not be friendly? Like Nitaidaya Prabhu yesterday, I don't know if anybody heard, he said that he sees, he tries to see everybody as his relative. If he sees senior, he says, oh, this is my father. If he sees, like, okay, this is my brother, you know, something like that. So this is natural part of bhakti, friendliness to every living entity. So, any questions or points on this? Then two more, that it surpasses liberation, actually makes liberation laghu. Laghu means light, lahke means, you know, like lightweight, insignificant. Sudurlabha, very rarely attained. Sandrananda, condensed bliss. Do you have condensed sweet milk here?
Yes.
Yeah? Do you like condensed sweet milk? Yeah? I remember in BBT I had a roommate. He, in the evening, he would go to the kitchen and half steal, half take a big jar of condensed milk. He would come and he would say, you know, Kshirodha Kashaya Vishnu sleeps on the ocean of milk. It must be this kind of milk. Because if it was other milk, it would spoil. Is it only this, you know, condensed sweet milk? That's the milk. And he would So this is condensed, yeah, condensed bliss that bhakti has. And Sri Krishna Karshani, Srila Prabhupada speaks about Madan Mohan Mohini. Krishna attracts even Cupid, but Radharani attracts even Krishna. So these are the six qualities of bhakti. Did we discuss about levels for these qualities? On which level which quality manifest? Did we discuss this last time?
this fifth one, San, what is this?
Sandra Ananda. Sandra Ananda.
So this is
Sandra means condensed.
It's like Sandesh.
Sandra Ananda. Sandra Ananda. Condensed Ananda. Yeah. We also had a little discussion of Kleshagni. What does it mean that suffering is removed? That suffering comes from ignorance. This is a discussion. Because bhakti removes ignorance, therefore all kinds of suffering are removed. We have suffering removed in the form of sinful desires. Anybody was suffering from some thoughts and desires ever? Yeah. Krishna tells this in the Bhagavatam two times or three times, that there is no higher suffering than lust. You are burned by that. So some desires, then the actual act, sinful act, and then it produces aprarabdha, so source for future sin, and also some prarabdha, manifest punishment, suffering, and so it goes in circles. But bhakti removes all stages. Yeah? It removes avidya, because we know I'm Krishna Das. It removes bija, because we, by education and training, by vows, it removes our acts, improper acts, and by association, it removes everything. It helps us to avoid all the troubles. So this way we can be free from klesha. And this is just the first two leaves on the plant of bhakti. These are the first two leaves: removal of suffering and auspiciousness. And it's very interesting. In Sanskrit, you have so many words for auspiciousness. Like mangala, what did you say?
Mangala.
Yeah, mangala, swasti, shubha, so many words, like, you know, 10, 20 words for auspiciousness. But when we have to translate this, I didn't even know this word, auspiciousness, before I found Prabhupada's books. Somehow in our languages, I don't know, God knows how well spread this word is, but it's somehow we don't have much, so many varieties of auspiciousness, and we don't need so many words for that. Like, you maybe heard that Eskimos have 200 words for snow.
They can recognize.
Yes, different. And in Tahiti, they have, I heard, what is it? They have something like also 100 or something words for love. Yeah? Also in Sanskrit, they have so many words for love. How many words for love do we have? One, two, I don't know. Love and like. Okay, if you are British, you fancy. I fancy this.
Also, Christianity has many words for love. I think maybe it's
In Greek, yes. But in English, how many words do we have? They even translated love as charity. Charitas, that was love. Isn't it? That was love. Actually, it's like, you know, well-wishing attitude. Anyway, so that's where we have all this mix up. Like in that joke, you know. That Johnny, do you like tomatoes? Well, to eat, yes. Otherwise, no. Association. All right. So this was a short review, and the second chapter. So all glories to bhakti, and especially pure bhakti. It's important to know that pure bhakti is our method. This is what we do. Pure bhakti is the method. Even Kanishtha Adhikari is Kanishtha Adhikari for Uttama Bhakti or pure bhakti. He may not be pure, and his consciousness may not be pure, but the path is pure. It may not be steady, that's why it's called Anishtita. It's not Nishta, it's unsteady, but our practice is pure, because It's a big secret that I realized after 20 years of studying, and which oftentimes we don't even. I mean, I was already studying for a long time, and still I thought that okay, you do pure bhakti when you are pure, later. But as Urmila Mataji said, then how do you become pure? It means you use something else. It means bhakti is not enough. It means you need mixed bhakti to do something, you know, until you become. And I even went to big. I asked many big senior devotee scholars. I said, look, after my study of Bhakti Shastri, I came to the conclusion we should do mixed bhakti, because you know that's very high, and I should do something. And many of them said, yes, you're correct. Do whatever you can. Which is right, yes, do whatever you can, but pure bhakti should not be some very scary, like, you know, Olympic Games championship or something. It's not, as we discussed, this is not what Rupa Goswami is saying. This is why Rupa Goswami adds this word there in Anyabhilashita Shunyam. He adds this very important suffix it, not anyabhilasha, not free from all other desires, but anyabhilashita, free from other constant desires. Otherwise, Jiva Goswami says, how could you do this as a practice? That would be only for perfect, only for those who are perfect. So, therefore, set the goal, decide this is my goal, decide this is my process. Boss, this is it. Then we can practice what Rupa Goswami recommends. And there are three stages there. Three stages there. That are discussed in chapter 2, which is called the first stages of devotion. Now, here we have several topics. Basically, Prabhupada discusses sadhana in two parts, and he touches upon bhava and prema. So in other words, there are three categories in practice of can we get the markers? please, from somewhere? Maybe they're probably in the Brahmacharya ashram, yes? Maybe on the window or something. So sadhana bhava and... What happened? What did I say? Now we're going to have a lot of markers. Enough markers, I guess. And this is important to understand that these three three levels are also connected with these six qualities. That sadhana bhakti includes kleshagni and shubhada. These are the first two leaves. It removes suffering, gives auspiciousness. So this comes already at sadhana, at practice. But this surpassing liberation and rarity, this comes at bhava, at the bhava stage. Bhava is the ecstasy stage, when our heart is touched already by the ray of internal potency. The first chapter and introduction were the first wave of this part of the ocean, and sadhana is actually from chapter 2 to chapter 16 of Nectar. So you have 15 waves. It's the biggest part. We have 64. Here we have 64 elements of bhakti, stages of bhakti. So this is this Raganuga, the last two chapters. So this is discussed here. 64, yeah. And 64 elements. And bhava is actually this is the non-material melting of the heart. Please note that ecstasy, well, actually you should probably remember, because you say ekstaza, yeah? Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes English speakers don't write S here, they write C, which is not correct. But so it has to be S, ecstasy. And the goal of everything, prema. Prema. which is complete melting of the whole heart. The whole heart is melted. So this is the complete thing. And then sadhana, we have actually we have first a discussion of candidates. Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama. And then we have 64 detail, and then we have chapters 2 to 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 14 is Vaidi Bhakti, and 15, 16, Raganuga. Raganuga Bhakti, which is also Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, which is not a perfection. Sometimes people think that Raganuga is perfection. It's also a sadhana, it's also a practice, but it's a higher level of, a more advanced level of practice, and special practice with spontaneous attraction. But it has all the same 64 elements. It doesn't mean that it's without rules. It means that you follow the rules, you practice the rules, not because of duty, but because you spontaneously are inspired. That's the idea of the Raganuga. So, here, in these three levels, so, again, the six qualities, they are divided by these three levels. So at sadhana we have the first two, at bhava, listen attentively, please pay attention, at bhava we have the first four. I remember this was my mistake in one midterm test. I wrote that sadhana 2, bhava 2 next to, prema next to. So it was marked wrong, because sadhana is 2, bhava is 4, prema is 6. So it includes the previous, naturally. It includes. So this clarifies the possible confusion that why bhakti is described as extremely rare, whereas we see that we can just take it, and there are millions of bhaktas in the world, so why is it so rare? So the answer is that what is rare is bhava bhakti, or why bhakti surpasses liberation. Not to speak of liberation, I am attracted just to cake or choco pie or whatever, I'm attracted to some simple things, and what to speak of liberation, so some more big things, expensive things. So again, this is at bhava. These two are referring to bhava. They have the first two plus two more, and this condensed bliss and attracting even Krishna, that's prema. Prema level. So these are the three levels. Any points here? Any questions?
I didn't understand. We said bhava is first four stages, but sadhana and prema, it includes those, because then just five and six are there.
And prema is six. Bhava is four, and prema is six.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it includes all of them, yes.
Okay.
Yes. In other words, this is like we have sadhana, these are 1, 2, then bhava, this is 1, 2, 3, and 4, and prema, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6, all of them. Mm-hmm. It's like this. So it's included. Anyway, this is logical, of course. It's all logical. Understandable. Prabhupada will discuss here what is he mentions this in the beginning. Oh, Yeah. So this is, you can see, this is the second chapter of the Nectar of Devotion, and Prabhupada discusses this here. And this is where he speaks about the three categories. Service in practice, how do we call it? Sadhana. In ecstasy, we call it, yes. And pure love, we call it prema. So these are the three categories. Practice, ecstasy, pure love. Yeah. Then, and you can see Prabhupada says 2, 4, 6. Yeah, 2, 4, 6, as we explained there. Then, how does one start? He says that this is a continual process. It's a continual process. Where is it? Yeah. Continual process. So from before, we continue where we finished in the previous life. So what do we do? How do I know if I did something in the past life? So Prabhupada says, but even if there is no continuity, if only by chance a person takes interest. It's very interesting. Interest. In pure devotee's instruction, he can be accepted and can advance in devotional service. Anyway, for persons who have a natural taste for understanding books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is easier than for those who are simply accustomed to mental speculation and argumentative processes. So you can see Prabhupada describes here, he gives two names to the entry exam. What's the entry requirement? What are the two things he gives for entry into bhakti?
Interest
or taste? Taste for what?
Krishna
Katha. Yes, for the books. How do you feel when you hear about that? That this is how we can enter bhakti. Yes, it's not that they force you to jump over a three-story building, or you have to become a superman, superwoman, or something. So in Sanskrit, how do you call? Actually, this is Srila Prabhupada's translation. Two translations of the Sanskrit word Shraddha. Shraddha. This is one qualification. Shraddha. Shraddha, this is the beginning, and this is, in Prabhupada's translation, is given just as first as...
Huh?
Interest and taste.
Both are Shraddha.
Both are Shraddha. Interest and taste. Both are Shraddha. Can we do this? Can we have some interest? Yeah.
It seems like taste, it's more like it's coming from previous life.
Or from interest. Or from desires. Or from goals. Or from, decisions. What do I decide is important for me? And I will have... You see, like when you go to Harinam, do you give cookies to everybody?
No.
No?
Yeah, I give, but they don't accept.
Yes, that. Yes. So, Bespokojna milost že je. Yeah, it's given. I mean, books are given. You go out, you give books. Everybody can get books. Doors are open, Everybody can come. So that's, yes, we need more and more, but that's given from, so this describes what do we need from our side, except interest. Or a taste for Gita and Bhagavatam for studying. Hare Krishna. So that's the beginning. Very easy beginning in Prabhupada's explanation. All right, and Gorgovinda Maharaj was saying that who is a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is one who speaks based on Shastra. Yeah. Again, who is a sadhu? Yeah, one who speaks on Shastra. Who is a guru? One who gives Shastra. So that's why you can see that Shastra is extremely important. And this is also how Jiva Goswami says in Bhakti Sandarbha, what is the real faith which helps us to avoid mistakes and fall downs. He says this is a Shastriya Shraddha. Faith based on Shastra, because that means we see and decide for, use our free will and decision capacity. Then it becomes natural, spontaneous faith based on Shastra. Okay, then Srila Prabhupada will give us the definition of sadhana, and he will give two examples. Definition of sadhana bhakti and two examples for practicing this sadhana. So what is Srila Prabhupada's definition here? Prabhupada says, so practice means employing both the mind and the senses in practical devotional service. Do you find something important here? Or something new or special in this definition that Prabhupada gives?
Practical.
Practical devotional service, yes. Practical. What are the examples of practical devotional service? Yes.
Oh, you can clean the pots in the kitchen also.
Yeah, also clean the pots, yeah. And Vaishnavas. Cleaning pots will be which of the processes? Which of the 64 or 9 processes?
Serving water sweet.
Padasevanam, yeah, okay. Padasevanam, yes, or Dasyam, yes. Or also, because it's deity kitchen, it's also part of Arachana, yes? Yeah, good. For me, I remember this was this huge discovery in my first Bhakti Shastri Nectar of Devotion. My huge discovery was that it includes the mind. It's not only the pots, but it pots plus, intention. Yes, thank you. Exactly. So this is our thing. You know? It's anukulyena. It always has to be there. Should not forget. Prabhupada, you can see that this is here in Prabhupada's definition. This is the definition. Because senses also include the mind. And this will be explained by Srila Prabhupada a little later in this same paragraph. No, next paragraph. He actually gives two quotes. Yena tena prakarena mana Krishna niveshayet. That somehow or other, fix your mind on Krishna. Actually, these are the two main rules. What are the two main, if we boil down all the rules of bhakti to two. What are the two main rules of bhakti?
Always remember,
never forget. Yes. All the positive rules boil down to always remember Krishna, and all the negative rules, never forget Krishna. This is the essence of all the rules. Essence of all the rules. This is why our society is called Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness. Yeah, so mind. It is the duty of the Acharya, Prabhupada says, the spiritual master, to find the ways and means for his disciple to fix his mind on Krishna. That is the beginning of sadhana bhakti. Beginning of sadhana bhakti. Yeah? Fix the mind. So everything we do is to fix the mind. Even washing the pots is for fixing the mind. Washing the temple is for fixing the mind. Chanting is for fixing the mind. Yeah, very important. Very important. And because this is practice, Srila Prabhupada gives two examples. One example is... Where is my... What's happening? Do you see this? Where? Strange. Laser stops at the distance. It's some new discovery. Strange. Yeah. So one example Prabhupada gives is, as man's mental disease is cured by the directions of a psychiatrist, so this sadhana bhakti cures the conditioned soul of his madness under the spell of Maya, material illusion. Hare Krishna. So this is one example. Yeah. Basically, Prabhupada says that we are all mad in this material world. Everybody is mad. We see some illusion. But sadhana bhakti is cure. And it's a practice, and you know, when one starts cure, one can be a little half crazy, then less crazy, and then less crazy, and then ultimately you become healthy. That's one example. And the other example, who remembers very good example that Prabhupada gives a little earlier about practice? Practice and failing in our practice? Failing in practice. He gives, because Prabhupada says that bhakti, Rupa Goswami says that bhakti is natural. Bhakti is not something artificial we need to get from outside. Nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam hridi sadhyata. That bhava, bhakti is nitya siddha. It's always naturally already there in the heart. It's natural. It's not artificial. Because we practice usually something artificial. Somebody can, especially mayavadis, can say, you know, if you need to practice, this is artificial. It's not real. It's just some other kind of illusion. Yeah? They will say, this is just some other imagination that you are developing. Some still temporary thing. Or we may sometimes try to perform our bhakti, then experience some difficulties, and we may think, oh, this is something really strange, and it's not my real identity, it's not who I am. So, because, you know, first when I started, yes, this was ecstasy, the first round were ecstatic, but now, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, oh, so trouble, yeah? Krishna. So Prabhupada gives a brilliant example. Actually, I don't remember Rupa Goswami giving it. So what the example he's giving is, says this practice is not for developing something artificial. For example, a child learns to practice to walk. You had it, yeah? Yes. So the child goes and boom, you know, and then what? The child says, "Oh, useless. Has no meaning. I'm not created to walk. It's not for me. I'll just lie here." No. The child falls and goes on, and then, look, all of us are walking, and we don't even think that, oh, look, I am walking. You see, I am walking. You don't even think about it. But if you remember, you know, when we were, you know, 1 year old, 2 years old, it was a lot of failures, a lot of struggle to learn. But is walking natural? Is walking natural for us? Yes. So in the same way, it may seem that bhakti is very challenging, and to reach bhava is so difficult. To cross the anartha nivritti ocean desert. Oh, anartha nivritti. My God, this is, how can you do this? Oh. But after you do this, like, you know, like now, you walk. How often do you remember? Do you even remember how you learned to walk? Do you even remember? You don't remember. You don't even think about this. Even though at that time it probably was a challenge, must have been challenging, but we don't even think about this once we learn. Because it's there. The ability is already there. It's not artificial. Yeah. And Prabhupada says that everybody has, it's a natural instinct. Very beautiful. And even uncivilized man. So everybody has this desire to worship and to do service. This is Sanatana Dharma, if you remember Bhagavad Gita. Sanatana Dharma. It's the nature of everybody. There is nobody who doesn't have the nature of service. There is nobody who does not serve. Can you think of somebody who doesn't serve? Can you think of somebody who...
It's impossible not to serve.
It's impossible. Yes. And even if somebody doesn't, you know, what about some dictator? Somebody, you know, or a king, some king or a dictator who just exploits everybody and tries to enjoy. Whom does he serve? Yes, in our gut we have how much? Some billion or something bacteria. Actually, yeah, all our immunity is this bacteria in the gut.
Actually, cows, they don't feed on grass, they feed on bacteria.
Really?
They eat grass, and by chewing they damage this tissue of cellulosis, and then bacteria can
break it down.
Digest it and they multiply and cow eats the
Yes, so... Yeah, it's very interesting. Okay, so dictators serve the bacteria inside. Who else do they serve?
The mind, the senses.
Yes, the mind and the senses. I remember this was the parable that struck me in my childhood. How do you call parable in...
Parable.
You say this? Parable, like instructive moral story. My father gave me a little book with these parables from Middle East, Persia. And there was a parable about a yogi who was sitting on the road, and king was passing. And everybody was, you know, offering obeisances to the king and greeting the king, and the yogi was just sitting. So the king stopped and said, look, everybody is greeting me and you don't even look at me. So why are you so proud? He said, well, yogi said, why should I offer respect to the servant of my servants? The king said, what? I'm a king. He said, look, you are a servant of your senses, and my senses are my servants. I am not serving my servants. So you are a servant of my servants. So what should I... So he goes, wow. This is interesting. Yeah. So everybody serves. Everybody serves somebody. Yes. Passions, ideas, and so forth. Family, sometimes they can serve their family. And so forth. So service is natural. Service is always in the heart. It's a natural condition. And loving service, this is the nature of the soul. And loving service reaches perfection when it is connected with Krishna as our master, as our object. If our love is focused on Krishna, then it can be fulfilled completely. Otherwise, it's not completely fulfilled. No matter whom we love in this world, it's never enough of something. It doesn't fulfill us completely. Okay. So this was regarding sadhana. Now, so we have discussed the three levels, and we have discussed the definition of sadhana. And who remembers what's Prabhupada's definition of sadhana? Okay, so this is how to start. So you to start, you need taste for what? Krishna Katha, yeah. Prabhupada says Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is one. And the other, what else he said you need?
Interest.
Yes, interest. Very interesting. All right. But how does Prabhupada decide sadhana? So he says, so practice means.
Employing both the mind and the senses.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Practice means employ both the mind and the senses in practical service of the Lord. And I want to bring your attention to the mind. Yes, the mind is included. This is one reason for this satisfaction if we don't employ our minds. Okay. Yeah, this is the next point here. This is the next. We already mentioned this, that smartavyah satatam vishnur vismartavyo najato chit sarva vidi nishada syur eta yor eva kinkara. And this is the beginning. Somehow what is happening? Practice every Narada. This is the beginning of sadhana. I'm missing some. Yeah. Uh-huh, okay. I am perplexed. Uh-huh, okay, regular and spontaneous. The essence of all the principles is to, again, what are the two principles which entail all the other principles? Which
remember
to
Krishna.
Remember Krishna?
Don't forget.
Never forget Krishna, yes. So practice. Yeah. Then Prabhupada mentions Vaidhi and Raganuga. So Vaidhi you can see regulated and Raganuga. Prabhupada writes, Raganuga refers to the point in at which by following the regulative principles one becomes a little more attached to Krishna and executes devotional service out of natural love. For example, a person engaged in devotional service may be ordered to rise early in the morning and offer arati, which is a form of deity worship. In the beginning, by the order of his spiritual master, one rises early in the morning and offers arati. But then he develops real attachment. Yeah? So, regulative and spontaneous. These are the two parts. So, when there is no attachment or no spontaneous loving service to the Lord, one is engaged in the service of the Lord simply out of obedience to the order of the spiritual master or in pursuance of the scripture, such as obligatory. Understand the word, obligatory, by duty. Service is called Vaidhi Bhakti. Vidhi actually means rule. Vaidhi means based on rules. So these are the two parts of... there will be bigger discussion of these two parts, Raganuga and Vaidhi. So which... What do we do now? Which are we practicing now? Vaidhi. Which is more open, accessible? Which is more... Is it? What is for Raganuga? What do you need? Do you always feel spontaneous? Like in the night, you wake up. Is it already time? No. Oh, is it? Can I already go? No. Is it already 4 o'clock? No, no. Oh, it's 3:30. I can already go. Is it like this? Sometimes, yes. Yeah. So, to the extent, this is what Rupa Goswami says, as much as you do have taste and spontaneous, yes, that much you do out of taste. But where you don't have enough taste, so that part you do out of duty. Yes? You just come, you know. Come. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. And then gradually, you feel, wow, this is nice. This is nice. You feel, you develop some spontaneous, you develop some taste, some deeper taste. Especially since our whole process is directed not at Vaikuntha Narayan, but at Vrajendranandana Krishna, which is worshipped only by spontaneous taste. So these are the two parts. These are the two parts, Vaidhi and Raganuga. And Raganuga. So Vaidhi means duty, Shastra, fear of what? Huh? Maya? Maya, illusion, material karma, yes, material existence. Tasmad bharata sarvatma bhagavan ishvaro hari srotavya kirtitavyascha smartavyasche chadabhayam. Yes, so therefore, O Bharat, if you want abhayam, if you want fearlessness, do you want fearlessness? Anybody doesn't want fearlessness? If you want fearlessness, then hear, chant, and remember the Supreme Lord. But when you hear, you will hear that Krishna likes when you serve devotees, then you will serve. And you will say, when you remember that Krishna is Krishna, Krishna likes devotees, Krishna is in the heart, oh, I should go serve. Yeah. Krishna is in the heart of Alesh, and Krishna likes when we serve devotees, so I will go and do a little massage, and you know, and... yes? So I remember Krishna. If I understand that Krishna is not only standing there in the temple room or sitting only in my japa bead bag, but actually Krishna is Krishna, he's in the heart and he likes devotees, and you know, if I understand this, it will be there. So this is duty, logic, duty. So one more we can add, logic, guru's order, or rules, order. So these five are the main: duty, shastra, fear, logic, order. These are the five motivators. This is what motivates a Vaidhi Bhakta. Desire for fearlessness and these things. So if you don't have spontaneous, no problem, you can use this. But the purpose is to be spontaneously attracted to Krishna. So therefore, sometimes you have some preachers from other groups who advertise Raganuga Bhakti, and they sometimes try to capture devotees. You can see that many of them cannot make devotees, so they try to capture those who are already devotees in ISKCON, and they come and say that, do you practice Raganuga Bhakti? Do you know that Chaitanya Charitamrita says that any other bhakti does not satisfy Krishna? Only Raganuga satisfies Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, he came only to give Raganuga Bhakti. Are you practicing? If you do not practice Raganuga Bhakti, you will go to Vaikuntha. Wow! Terrible, terrible! And it's logical because it's better than everything else. Yeah? So it's very interesting because basically they try to motivate you for Raganuga by logic, shastra, duty, and fear. Which shows that they have no clue what Raganuga Bhakti is, actually. Because Raganuga is not based on shastra, logic, it's not the motivation for Raganuga. Raganuga means that's the motivation for Vaidhi Bhakti. So, and this other thing, these other things, they come from certain purity and attraction in the process of Vaini. All right, so any comments or questions here? What was what?
No,
not necessarily all of them. And, you know, also this fear doesn't mean that we are actually, you know, like, terrified all the time. Like, we have some religions which are based, you will go to hell if you do not something. you don't see Prabhupada using this ever. Whenever Prabhupada speaks about hell, he speaks about hell to devotees, saying, please save them from going to hell. So this is what he is, that's how Prabhupada. So Prabhupada doesn't use this. But material existence, yes, illusion. So and also this quote, chachata abhayam, that you want fearlessness. Fearlessness. Anyway, one thing, if you want to have peace, if you want to have shanti, freedom from worry, you can see it certainly is there. You come to the Bhagavatam class, become very peaceful. And you can see we always have a few people who are completely peaceful. 100% peaceful. Yeah, you saw? It works. All worry, all that is troublesome to the heart is removed, at least for the time being. Yeah. There's one more point Prabhupada speaks about here. So, anyway, so you can see that Prabhupada mentions regulative spontaneous, is what he speaks. And this is the quote that we said, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma 215. And it's directed at Krishna. Then Prabhupada describes, you know, if you do not develop Krishna consciousness, then we are thrown into the cycle. So this is the basis for fearlessness. And just one more point that Prabhupada speaks. Here's the quote about two main rules. Always think of Vishnu without forgetting him. The basic of all regulative principles. When the order is that one should always remember Krishna, the prohibition is that one should never forget him. Within this simple order and prohibition, all regulative principles are found complete. One devotee, Bhakti Shastri student, he made a tattoo on his hands. Smartavya satatam Krishna, vismartavya najatu chit. So he always is the accent. Big, nice tattoo, you know. They always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. One more little point here is about Varnashrama. That Prabhupada speaks about. You can see that he speaks about Varnashrama. Because Varnashrama is not bhakti. Is not included in the description of bhakti as such, because we see that if even if one follows Varnashram Dharma but does not remember Krishna, then it's Shrama Evahi Kevalam. It's useless. Useless, useless, useless. Three times it says. So, and if one follows Varnashram but does not satisfy the Supreme Lord, one falls down, means one is fallen without bhakti, without satisfying Krishna. Yeah? But it doesn't mean that we reject Varnashram Dharma. So you can see here we have very interesting Prabhupada's definition of Varnashram. You can see that Varnashram, because there is two Varnashrams. One is caste system, which is demoniac Varnashram, Asuri Varnashram. Asuri Varnashram, which is to divide, yeah, which is caste system, the modern caste system. It can be productive. We see that Europe, it's the beginning of the industrial revolution, dividing people into different functions. The conveyor belt factory. Yeah, the person does only one function the whole day, yeah, nothing else. So it may increase the productivity. Yeah. So it has some value in terms of material production. But separating people, dividing people, this is asuri, this is demoniac. It's not about dividing people. You see, Prabhupada says full cooperation and spiritual advancement among all the different orders of society. And when there is no such cooperation, the member of society will fall down. So, full cooperation, so in other words, Daivi, or is the term that Bhaktisiddhantaji used and Bhaktivinoda Thakur used, because Varnashram has become just demoniac caste system to suppress and exploit. So that's why Bhaktisiddhantaji have to, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they have to introduce that it's Daivi Varnashrama. They have to emphasize it's divine, devotional. And this is to harmonize in cooperation. You can say full cooperation. Not to divide and suppress, but to harmonize in full cooperation and spiritualize. Why there is different varnas? Because we have different natures and it's okay. It's not to suppress, but what's the opposite of suppress?
Express.
Include. Express, include, liberate, allow, employ. Right? Let's say. Employing everyone's nature. Use the energy. Do not kill the energy. Use the energy. But employ it for yoga, spiritual progress. Prabhupada says, yeah? Spiritual advancement. Advancement. You can see this is page 25, 26. Spiritual advancement. So this is page 25, 26 on the border. So it's not that, oh, Shudras? No. Don't ever hear Bhagavatam. Women? No. No spiritual life for women. They are just kitchen, okay? Nothing else. They should come for the, to dance on Sunday. Otherwise, no Bhagavatam or anything else. It's not to suppress, divide, exploit. It's for harmonizing in full cooperation and spiritual advancement. And then it can be used to support us, and then it's, even though it's not bhakti, it's just a good social, natural social organization to help us advance. So everything that can be used in Krishna consciousness, we use. Suvarnashram can be used. Prabhupada, this is the last paragraph here. This is what Prabhupada says. Very beautiful. So this is the conclusion here. Thus, the Krishna consciousness movement is so nice that there is no need of even designating oneself Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi. Let everyone be engaged in whatever occupation he now has. Simply let him worship Lord Krishna by the result of his activities in Krishna consciousness. That will adjust the whole situation and everyone will be happy and peaceful within this world. No problem. So we do not reject, but we use this in... use your energy in yoga, in Krishna consciousness. Use it for Krishna. It's good if you act according to your nature, because it's easier and you're happier and you become more fulfilled. But the point is to do bhakti yoga. So engage everything in bhakti yoga. Also nature, duties, and without bhakti yoga, it's all useless. Everything. Shrama, eva, hi, kevalam. Just work. Useless labor. But with bhakti, if you have bhakti, then everything is adjusted, everything is happy. Yes, this will adjust the whole situation. Everyone will be happy and peaceful within this world. So, this is Daivi Varnasha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Questions, comments? Points? So what do we do now? After this class? What's the conclusion? Any conclusion we can make?
Eagerness to hear.
Yes. Interest for eagerness to hear. Taste for Gita and Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says. Yeah? This is the basis for advancement. Yes.
Watching the mind and bring it back over and over.
Yes, watching the mind. Sadhana practice is not just the hands, but hands and the mind. Hands just it helps to direct the mind. If my hands are in the bead bag and connected to the body which sits in the temple, then there is a chance that I will notice, oh, what is this in my hand? Oh, where it's... It's japa. And where's my body? My body is... Oh, it's in dhoti. Oh, it's in the temple. Oh, it's Krishna's temple. Oh, it's for Krishna. Oh, okay. For Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. There's a good chance I can... But the point is, I should remember. Otherwise, if I don't remember, then... It's also good. But it's not really sadhana. Yes, all the troublesome is destroyed by Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya, by regular attendance in the Bhagavatam and serving devotees. Yeah. Bhagavat devotees.
When one is on the stage of Bhava, can again fall down on a stage of Sarva?
Yes. It's possible. Yeah. By offense.
by offenses, one can be thrown back. And there's one interesting, it will come in chapters 17, 18, when bhava is described. There is one very interesting concept of shadow reflection bhava, reflection ecstasy. It says that we can experience ecstasy reflected from devotees, like from Shastra or from, you know, it can be. And if we do not make offenses, then this reflection will turn into true ecstasy. It will melt our heart. But if I make offenses, I lose this ecstasy. I lose this ecstasy, and then hard work to again purify. And so most of the time we see that we lose that ecstasy, reflected ecstasy, and then we have to do the work of removing the anarthas which cause the which make us make offenses. But usually, you know, bhava is given as the goal of sadhana. Sadhana is actually defined through bhava. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava sa sadhana vida. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava sa sadhana vida. Sadhana is defined as practicing as practice activity with minds and senses for getting bhava. Aimed at bhava. How do you say in Slovenian? Aimed?
Usmerena.
Can you, and how do you say with the...
Ciljano.
Yeah? Ciljano na bhava. Yeah, so that's how we engage our mind, that we think, yeah, why do we sit here? To be ecstatically in love, pleasing Krishna for ecstasy of loving service to Krishna. This is sadhana aimed at bhava. But already even when we already have ecstasy, still there is more and more melting. Actually, it's unlimited. This is the beauty of bhakti. It's unlimited. Because bhava turns into prema. Prema, what means prema? Prema means that nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you. We have, what is the most famous, what do you call it, tragedy? Yeah, Romeo and Juliet. This is a demonstration of prema, that nothing could stop them. Of course, if they got married, we don't know what would happen then. that's another question. this is what we discussed in the morning. But this is the idea of prema, that nothing can stop. It's not the end. Then you get darshan of Krishna. Then you get sneha, your heart melts. Then you have raga, when even a second of separation, you notice a moment of separation with Krishna, such strong is your attachment to Krishna. Then you have anuraga, when poison becomes nectar, nectar becomes poison. And then you have mana, then you have, I mean, it goes on and on and on and on, and it's unlimited. As Krishna is unlimited, that's also unlimited. But at least bhava, that's when the heart starts truly melting and touched by Hladini Shakti and Prema, when it's completely melted, and then it becomes more and more, it's when it flows more and more, then it's further and further. This is the rest of Nectar of Devotion, and it doesn't stop there, then it goes to Ujjvala Nilamani, it's more and more. Ujjvala Nilamani describes how Krishna can be a hero in, there are 90 varieties of a lover hero, of lover hero, of lover, he lover, male lover, and 360 varieties of heroine, female lover. And so described in Ujjvala Nilamani, and you know that how Krishna, so there is enough fun in Vrindavan. Don't worry, it's not going to be boring in Vrindavan and in Krishna Loka.
I remember just a little from his book. I did not read all because it was too much. But in the beginning, that this what type of hero he is, so nice features, and there's some are very really. If you go to mundane eyes, he's very naughty, or how to say it.
Yes.
But he's not ever a gross rascal. He's not like here.
Yes.
Even if there are big jokes or something.
Yes, yes.
But it's.
Yeah.
Very nice always. Huh?
Yes. So yes, it's all spiritual and aimed at ecstasy and yes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So let's engage our minds and hearts. Please remember to remember. And if you forget, then don't forget to remember. And please pray for others, that they also remember. If you don't know for whom to pray, you can pray for me always, that I can remember Krishna properly. And thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. My humble obeisances.